Today's message is inaccountable men. Men, we have a real problem. Men don't like accountability. We don't want nobody telling us anything. And men, that's dangerous. But first of all, why don't we talk about what accountability is? You know, what's the definition of accountability? It's the quality or state of being accountable. It's an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. And for an example, a public official lacking accountability, like our prior governors that went to jail. You know, we had several here in the state of Illinois. You know, in a survey of prominent Christian leaders who experienced moral failure, illustrating the need for accountability, here's what a few had to say. Gordon MacDonald said, "I now realize I was lacking in mutual accountability through personal relationships. We need friends where one man regularly looks another man in the eye and asks a hard question about our moral life, our lusts, our ambition, and our ego." Jimmy Swaggart confessed, "I fasted and I prayed and I begged God for deliverance from pornography. I now realize if I had turned to my brother in Christ for help, I would have been delivered." Interesting, Chuck Swindoll stated, "When I learned of someone's spiritual defection or moral fall, I asked, was that person accountable to anyone on a regular basis? Without an exception, hear me. Now, without a single exception, the answer has been the same, no." Howard Hendricks, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, studied 237 instances of Christian men who failed morally. They all had one common factor. Not one of the 237 had an accountable relationship with another man. Listen, men, if you're serious about being a follower of Christ, you need men to hold you accountable. I'm going to talk more about that as we go on in point number two. But let's think about that, because in order for us to have fellowship with Him, we first need to talk about being accountable to God, to men, and to our families. Quickly, we're going to go through 3 points. Point number one, men are accountable to God to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Point number two, godly men that walk in the light have an accountable relationship with other men in fellowship. And point number three, godly men that are accountable and transparent confess their sins to one another and grow. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And God's word reads, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Let me give you guys a little bit of background, some content in the first book of John. First of all, it was written by John. Now, the book of John was addressing false teachings that were going on in the community of churches in Ephesus. Now, these groups were split four different ways. The first were the Johannine. They were the Christians committed to Jesus. The second group were called the sectionists. They broke away with some and became heretical, just bad teaching. The third were hereticals inclined with a Jewish background. They were the ones kind of forcing circumcision and following the laws of Moses, etc. And lastly, the fourth group were the heterodox. They were the heretical followers with a Hellenistic background bent. They were thinking about things with that point of view from the Hellenistic Greek background and culture. And they were making it difficult when it came to end times, eschatology, and pneumology with the Holy Spirit. And they were basically messing people up with false doctrines and confusing them. Now, John wanted to correct that. He also wanted to encourage the Jewish Christians that were being expelled from the synagogues. The synagogues was the Jewish life. It was community for Jewish people and anybody who believed in Judaism. Everything that happened in community happened in the synagogues. So when they expelled you from the synagogue, they expelled you from Jewish community. So many of them were actually denying Christ just to return to the synagogues. So John wanted them to truly believe in Jesus Christ and not to deny Christ because of that. And he was basically telling them, listen, to follow Christ, there's a cost, right? There's a cost to follow Christ. Even today, there's a cost to follow Christ. If you're in China, they're knocking down buildings, they're locking you up. There's a cost to follow Christ. And John was encouraging this group of believers that there's a cost. So with that, just know that the Lord is with us and there is a cost to follow him. Point number one, men are accountable to God to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The verses we read earlier stated, verses 1 through 4, that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with your eyes, which you have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life that made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Romans 14:12 states, so then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. That which was from the beginning, for what you believed and what you didn't believe, for what you didn't do for God and how you lived your life, we will be held accountable by God. Which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with your eyes, which you have looked upon and touched with our hands. John's emphasis on heard, looked, touched was Jesus was fully God and fully man, correcting false teaching. The problem they had that they wasn't believing that Jesus as it was the Messiah. And he was correcting that and fixing that. John was also holding them accountable to believe in the truth found in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you truly believe, or do you doubt at times that Jesus is God, that he is the Messiah? Well, did you know that Thomas did as well? One of the 12 disciples. He walked with Christ. He saw Christ. 3 years seeing miracles left and right. And when he died, he stated, unless I see, I will not believe. Is that you? Do you not believe? He wanted to put his fingers in his cuts. And Christ told him when he appeared to him and he did it, he says, blessed is those who believe and do not see. I encourage you, if you don't believe, if you have any struggles, any trials, anything in that realm, I ask you to get the answers to any of your doubts. Go sit down with some elders, go read some books, do whatever you need to do, but get the answer to your question. What is the enemy whispering in your ear? What doubts is he placing there? Seek the truth. Ask questions. Look for answers. The greatest minds of people who look for answers found them. See, I was raised as a Catholic all the years of my life. Didn't practice it, but that's what my parents raised me up as a Catholic. And when I was seeking the truth, when things happened in my life and I started to look, I was asking myself, who's right? Are the Jehovah's Witnesses right? The Mormons right? The Muslims right? Who's right? So I pursued my doubts. I pursued to get the answer to the questions of the things that I doubted most. And I came to the conclusion that Christ is the Messiah, that he died on the cross and resurrected from the dead and sits at the right-hand side of God, that through Christ and Christ alone, I find salvation. And you have to find your own journey. But these men that have come up, well, the greatest mind, these men that have looked for answers have found them. We see C.S. Lewis, who was a great atheist. You have Lee Strobel, who also looked for Christ and found Christ. And the greatest, for me, in my journey was to see Simon Greenleaf, who was the founder of Harvard Law. And he basically put Jesus on trial in court and at the end concluded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God. And he got saved. He found out the truth and the truth will set him free and the truth will set all of us free. See, one day, we are going to be held accountable to God. And the question is, do we believe? Do we believe? I encourage you to learn God's word. Attend some of our essential classes that we got going on at CityLine, especially session 4, to learn who is the Son of God, that Jesus is fully God and that he's fully man. Learn that doctrine. Learn, answer questions. Look for answers. If you still have doubt, again, come and talk to some of the elders and look for those answers. We will be held accountable by God. Point number 2. Godly men that walk in the light have accountable relationships. Verses 5 through 7 reads, this is the message. The message, what message? The gospel. We have heard from him and proclaimed to you that God is light. He's the revealer of truth. And in him there is no darkness, there is no sin at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and just so you know that is repeated 5 times, fellowship. With him while we walk in darkness in sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. All sin. Now, one night, I was rushing to go to work. And in the middle of the night, you know, I know my bedroom, everything's off. I know how to get to the bedroom. I know how to walk through the whole house in the middle of the dark. And I was on my way to the bathroom. And on my way to the bathroom, I stepped on a pile of poop. It went through my toes. And it was, once I stepped on it, the smell came out. Like it was out there for such a time that you couldn't smell it. But when you stepped on it, that fresh smell came up and I had to hop with one leg all the way to the sink to clean my toes and my foot off in the middle of the night. This was like 2 o'clock in the morning. As I was cleaning up, I came to realize that when things are dark, you don't see things right. You think you know because you're doing things in the dark and think it's right. If I would have only turned on the lights, I wouldn't have had these issues. The light would have revealed that there was something there. See, God's word is the light when men hold us accountable to it, and it prevents us from walking in sin and the troubles that come with it. See, I could study God's word, but if I don't have somebody to remind me of God's word, to ask me some difficult questions, I'll step on some poop. Let's look at those verses again. The light and dark image in those verses is basically contrasting a follower of Christ and those who walk in sin. So a follower of righteousness with those of sin. The word God is light means, again, he is the revealer of truth. The image of walking in darkness is the dangers of stumbling over something. See, walking in the Old Testament was describing as obeying God's word. It was living the laws of Christ. It's obeying what he's calling us to do when we're walking with the Lord. That's why it says if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness and sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So walking is obeying the laws of Christ. So what? So we can have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus and the Lord, right? Therefore, to have fellowship with God, we cannot walk in darkness. Walking in righteousness, we have fellowship with God and others. And again, fellowship is mentioned 5 times in this chapter, showing the importance of fellowship. And fellowship, you can't have fellowship if there's no accountability, right? We need accountability in fellowship in order for us to sustain fellowship. But it ain't one-sided, it's reciprocal. And it's caring and love and making sure that we don't fall and stumble. Fellowship means koinonia, signifying or signifies having a share in something or sharing with someone or something, or you could say participation in something or with someone. John Piper states a mutual bond that Christians have with Christ that puts us into a deep, eternal relationship with one another. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, fellowship, again, includes accountability to walk in the light. Right? Because if we're walking in sin and we're not walking in the light, then we don't have fellowship. But fellowship prevents us from walking in darkness. Because light exposes sin. And light is God's word and your brothers in Christ that keep you from walking in darkness. See, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 9 through 10. The problem is to stay in fellowship. See, we need brothers to hold us accountable, not to stumble in darkness. To lie to ourselves that we walk in the light while we sin. Howard Hendricks has a great quote, and he says, an unexamined life is not worth living. Again, an unexamined life is not worth living because you'll be walking in darkness. Let me give you 5 reasons men run and avoid accountability. 1. Men don't want fellowship, they prefer isolation. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desires, he breaks out against all sound judgment. There's also a verse in Psalms 32:3. You could read it when you have some time. To fear, they don't trust anyone. And a lot of them don't want to be burned. I have friends that are pastors that were burned in the past and don't want to share anymore. And that's caused them to fail in the future because they don't want anybody to hold them accountable. They fear it because they don't trust anyone. Sometimes you're going to be burned, and that's okay. You continue to share. Don't let that stop you. The other one, 3, is lack of friends. 4 is they don't want change. You're happy with living the life that you're living. And lastly, you love your sin. You like what you're doing. And if that's you, repent. Turn from your ways. Read Romans 12, 1 through 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change. Now, why is accountability so important? Well, it's important because we need to have moral fences, guardrails, to keep us in fellowship. It's like driving on a road, and that road is called fellowship. And the rails are the ones that keep us on the road, and that's called accountability. See, you ain't going to be driving on a cliff, ramming into the rails, sparks flying. Right, you want to stay within the road. To stay in fellowship, you need accountability to keep you there. We are to be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And we are to preach the gospel. We don't want to give God a black eye by trying to preach the gospel while we're committing adultery, by preaching the gospel where we're still stuck on porn. We need accountability. To be in fellowship with one another, we need to be in small group as well. Now, God's word instructs us in all the one another's in Scripture. And that's why accountability. We are to restore one another that fall into sin by holding each other accountable. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. Read that when you get a chance. It tells us to bear each other's burdens to fulfill the laws of Christ. And he calls us to come alongside each other, to lift each other up, to pray for each other, to not let each other fail, but also to hold each other accountable to the sins that hold us down. Now, there's a bunch of one another's in Scripture. You know, there's a total of 59 one another statements in the New Testament. And here's a few. Love one another, 1 John 3:11. Instruct one another, Romans 15:14. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5:21. Admonish one another. Build each other up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage each other, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Spur one another towards love and good deeds, Hebrews 10:24. Listen, accountability stops you from walking in darkness and walking in the light. You got John 3:20, Ephesians 5:8, John 3:19 through 21. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. John 12:35. Listen, you might be stepping on poop. Hey, our brothers, help us not to lie to ourselves, but to walk in the light and to have fellowship with God and one another. We need men to help us not to be confused. Again, not to call darkness light and light darkness. That's Isaiah 5 through 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Because living in the light brings them glory. That's Matthew 5:16. Listen, I know you might be saying, well, give me some examples. Give me some biblical examples. Okay, here, I got three of them for you. King Saul and the prophet Samuel. King Saul was being held accountable by prophet Samuel. King David was held accountable by Nathan. And Timothy was accountable to Paul. Now listen, men, you need at least three men in your life. You need a Paul that can teach you, a wiser man that can lead you. You need a Peter, somebody who's quick to jump the gun to rebuke you and tell you as it is, as a man. And you need a Timothy, someone to learn from you, because you're always on stage. Somebody's always watching you. Somebody's always looking up to you. Now, are you making a disciple for God or a disciple for Satan as they watch you? You might be asking me, okay, Eddie, who holds you accountable? Well, that's a great question. For me, it's Al Miranda, Oscar Valenzuela, my brother that I call Guillermo G, my brother called Bill, the other elders, pastors at our church. They hold me accountable. Now, you might be saying, okay, I get it. How do I find them? How do I pick these men out? All right, great. So here, I'm going to give you a list. And I want you to think about this list as you look for these men. Preferably someone outside your family. Someone you have no vested interest with. Someone you don't influence their income, their reputation, their time, or job, nor they do yours. A group of men who appreciate you but do not adore you. Men you impacted but that are not impressed by you. People who accept you as you are and love you. They love you so much, they will not allow you to remain as you are. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to open your life by choice to this group of men? A group that is carefully selected, loyal, confident. A relationship with a very select group of men with whom you are trying to develop intimacy with, that can keep you walking in the light. Think about that group of men. Go through this list and pinpoint who they might be. Point number three, godly men that are accountable are transparent and confess their sins and grow with one another. Verses 6 through 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The other day, I accidentally spilled Coke on my shirt. It produced a stain. Now, I don't take my shirt off and dip it in a bucket of Coke. I take it off and put it in the washing machine. Put some Tide, Softer, and Clorox to get the stain off. Just like sin, we have to come before the Lord and confess our sins to God and our brothers. And that's like putting it in a heavenly washing machine and adding a little bit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God cleanses us and cleans us of our sin. But confession makes that happen. Accountability makes that happen. Again, men have to be accountable. And to be accountable, you have to be transparent. And to be transparent, you have to confess your sins. But what's the problem? Well, pride stops us from confession. But we need to man up and do it apart from the shame that it's going to cause. We have to draw to humility to confession. And we acknowledge that sin. Now, confessing is hard, but it's necessary. It's a weight lifted That's where Christ says, give me your burden, I'll give you mine, which is light. See, if we confess our sins to one another, James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. John Piper says, since we're children of the light and part of the light is truth, Christian community won't be marked by secretiveness. See, sin has power over you when it's a secret. That power of shame because you don't want to confess it. See, when you confess your sin, it loses power over you. There's no more secrets. There's freedom. See, my eyes at work cause me to sin. And I go to my brothers and I confess it. Because men have a problem with our eyes. And we ask the Lord for strength in that area. See, Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of us speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. And again, here are some more one another's that we can use. Matthew 18:15 says, be reconciled to one another. Sometime our sins against our own brothers and sisters. Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another. See, when you confess and bring sin to light, again, that heavy burden is lifted. Chains are broken. Early, we spoke about choosing the right men. And now we're going to talk about what kind of access you give these men. These confessions of sorts. So here it is, five ways to confess your sins with your accountability partner. This is what you give them authority. You give them this type of authority. One, the right question, the right to question you. No questions, a nasty question. Two, the right to evaluate you. Be open enough to give another person the freedom to observe you and evaluate you. Three, the right to rebuke you. Someone that will tell you that you are neglecting something. Four, the right to counsel you. And last thing, it has to be reciprocal. It ain't just one-sided. Both of you have to share things. With that, I'm going to conclude. I hope you guys see the importance of accountability and its benefits. We will be held accountable to God, whether we believe or we don't believe, whether we wrestle with the questions and doubts that we have, and whether we find the answers or not, God will hold us accountable to that. He will also hold us accountable why we didn't have men to hold us accountable in our life, why we permitted our marriage to fail when somebody could have rebuked you in the midst of committing adultery or doing some things you shouldn't be doing. And then you chose to live with some unconfessed sin that dragged you down and made you inefficient and ineffective for Christ. Listen, men, you have the option, you have the opportunity to choose to be accountable to God, to be accountable to a select group of men, to confess your sins to one another, and to grow in Christ. Brothers, make that list. Give him the right to ask these questions and have some accountability, and you will grow in Christ. God bless. Hope you guys are well. Bye. Men, thank you for joining us for this session as we listen to today's message. A reminder that we will have another message every month, and we hope that you'll join us for those messages as well as we make men to be pastors and leaders of their home. God bless. See you next time.